Hello, everyone. Good morning. I can't see anything on my screen yet, so I hope that I look presentable for all of you on this Tuesday. I just got back from vacation visiting my grandmother for her, listen to this, 96th birthday. And I just found out that if she lives another 4 years, which God willing, I hope she does, I hope she lives forever, that she's going to get a letter from the president, hopefully President Trump. I had no idea that they sent out letters to the, I think it's, what's it called in the, when you turn 100? Centenarians. I had no idea that the centenarians in this country got letters, but that is something to be thankful for and something that I'm happy to hear. So grandma, please hold on another 4 years because I would love for you so I can hold it in my hands to get a letter from Donald Trump if everything pans out to be that way. Anyways, everyone, let's get into what occurred this past weekend. We had the Women's National Championship. Last night, we had the Men's National Championship. And in the words of DJ Khaled, who, by the way, I actually hosted an event with a couple of years ago, so I've met the guy personally, UConn just secured another one. They became the first men's hoops team to win back-to-back national championships since the 2006-2007 Florida Gators. But what might even be an even bigger win happened on the women's side of collegiate athletics yesterday. Now, while Dawn Staley is busy blocking people on social media who are adamant about keeping biological men out of women's sports, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics was busy yesterday imposing a ban on trans athletes competing against women across all of its 241 colleges in this country. Now, are you interested in knowing how tough it was for the NAIA Council of Presidents to make this decision? Well, they approved the new policy in a 20-0 vote. If that tells you absolutely anything, absolutely unanimous. A huge win for what is believed to be the first college sports organization representing 83,000 athletes in more than 25 sports to take such a step, with the president, Jim Carr, saying this. Quote, for us, we believe our first responsibility was to create fairness in competition in the NAIA. We also think it aligns with the reasons Title IX was created. You're allowed to have separate but equal opportunities for women to compete. Now, the NCAA, under immense pressure now, obviously, they put out a response yesterday in return of the NAIA doing this, saying this, quote, the NCAA will continue to promote Title IX, make unprecedented investments in women's sports, and ensure fair competition for all student athletes in all NCAA championships. So in other words, they said nothing. Yeah, it's really sad because it really just doubles down on what head coach Dawn Staley, head coach of this year's new national champion Gamecock, said following the team's Final Four win over the weekend when pressed by our own Zach Krzyzewski. Listen to this.
Dan Zakrzewski, Outkick coach, you just talked about, you know, what a massive weekend this is, obviously, for women's basketball, women's sports in general. One of the major issues facing women's sports right now is the debate, discussion topic about the inclusion of transgender athletes, biological males, in women's sports. I was wondering if you would tell me your position on that issue.
Damn, you got deep on me, didn't you? I'm under the opinion of if you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion. You want me to go deeper?
Do you think transgender women should be able to participate?
That's your question you want me to ask. I mean, you want to ask, so I'll give you that. Yes. Yes. So now the barnstorm of people are going to flood my timeline and be a distraction to me on one of the biggest days of our game. And I'm okay with that. I really am.
Okay, so in response to all of this, here's what I have to say. I say major props to the NAIA for their unanimous ruling to keep biological men out of women's sports. It takes some serious guts for every single person on that council to stand strong in the name of women and women's sports. We have reached a point in our cancel culture-filled society where anyone who has the courage to publicly fight for real women should be celebrated. Not to mention to have this vote and make its results public the day after the NCAA championship, when all eyes, as we know, are on women's collegiate athletics, is massive. The NAIA is taking a stand, and now we are looking at the NCAA to do the same. And here with some reaction to help me get into all of this, we've got Outkick contributor Amber Harding. Amber, I wish I could see myself this morning because, you know, I'm always delighted to see you. So I'd love to see my own reactions when you come onto the screen. But I can only see you this morning, which I guess is still a very much a delight. So how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy birthday to your grandmother. That's a huge milestone. That's exciting.
Isn't that crazy? 96 years old. I'm thinking to myself, if I reach 96, that means I'm essentially living almost two more lives that I've already lived, which is absolutely wild to even imagine. But also wild, Amber, is the fact that we now have the NAIA making a very strong stance. And, you know, I say wild because it just feels like anyone these days that makes this strong of a stance is like, wow. It's not even something I feel like in normal days we should have been celebrating. But at this point in time, this is a massive win. But then when you contrast it to what the NCAA is saying and what they're doing and what Dawn Staley is putting herself on this pedestal saying, you know, she's one of the biggest faces of women's collegiate athletics right now. How does it make you feel when you see this major contrast?
I mean, unanimous vote. That should really tell you something. And look, a lot of people might try to downplay this and say, oh, the NAIA is just a bunch of small private schools. But this is a huge step because one, it takes a lot of courage to be the first one. And two, it puts pressure on the NCAA. They're already facing a lot of pressure because icons and former collegiate athletes like Riley Gaines are suing them for violating Title IX. And this ruling really holds their feet to the fire. And right now they're deflecting. Like you said, their announcement or their response to the announcement was just a whole lot of nothing. And their official policy basically is that they are going to do whatever the national governing bodies for each individual sport does. So it's just they're a bunch of cowards who don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to make the decision for themselves. So instead, they're just tiptoeing around this issue that should be common sense. And it's at the expense of their tens of thousands of female athletes.
Yeah, and you would think Dawn Staley, I mean, being around such elite female athletes all of the time would realize what a huge disadvantage they would be in if, in fact, biological men more and more increasingly started to enter into women's collegiate basketball. I mean, imagine if in this year's tournament we saw trans athletes on every team. Would the games look nearly similar to what they did this year? Would the competition be nearly as great as it is? Absolutely not. And for Dawn Staley to absolutely know that and still just not have the courage. And I get it. Listen, I get it. When you're put under the microscope and you don't want everybody talking about you're hateful, you're a bigot, I understand. We all get it because we're all subjected to it as well. But still, it's just sad because of all people, she has to realize the detriment that it would cause. So it's just really disappointing for her now, especially being the coach of the national champions, to not take a stronger stance.
Absolutely. She's a Hall of Famer. She was a phenomenal athlete herself, and she's an even better coach. So it really is a shame that she's kind of selling out for this fringe gender ideology because she knows darn well she wouldn't have Olympic medals and all of her other accolades if she were competing against men. So when you hear her say this and you see people like Sue Bird, who is also a phenomenal athlete, applauding her on Twitter, it's so frustrating because these are women who have already had their careers. They've made their money and they've enjoyed a lot of success thanks to Title IX and thanks to the protections that were put in place for female athletes. And now they're just throwing that in the face of all of these female athletes who look up to them, who want to enjoy that same success.
Well, I was seeing over the weekend that Dawn Staley was getting, block happy on social media. I don't know how many people she probably blocked, but I saw at least she blocked Clay Travis and Riley Gaines, both of them for pointing out how wrong her response was and, you know, shame on her for not taking more of a stance. So to Clay and Riley, sorry, I guess I can keep you updated on Dawn Staley's X feed if that's something you're interested in. Something else that we have learned in recent days, Amber, is that Bronny James will be entering the transfer portal. He also declared for the 2024 NBA draft, so he is up for grabs. And Nick Adams pointed out something rather interesting that we think everyone should take a listen to. So let's listen and then react.
Bronny James, son of the all-time leader in NBA playoff losses, LeBron James, entered the transfer portal and declared for the draft. And let's be real about Bronny here for a moment. The only reason he had any Division I offers to begin with was because of his last name. His first season in college was an abject failure, as he averaged under 5 points, despite 20 minutes of playing time per game as a true freshman. Bronny just doesn't have the athleticism to hang with Luka, the ball skills to compete with Tyler, he's a hero, or the size to match up with Jokic. He's got bust written all over him. Look, I'm a nice bloke. LeBron and I have had our disagreements, but I'm not going to hold the sins of the father against Bronny. So I have a solution. Bronny James should identify as a woman and play women's college basketball for a few seasons to hone his craft, develop his game. The decreased level of competition will allow him to rebuild his confidence and let him play at a pace more fitting to his ability. If Dawn Staley has no problem with it, it seems like a win-win.
Obviously, he says all this in jest, but it brings up a good point because, you know, when you look at, for example, Caitlin Clark, who will be entering the WNBA draft, I mean, she is just phenomenal, super elite athlete. And then you look at Bronny James, who, you know, at one point was considered to be probably a high draw in the NBA draft, but as of this past season has been less than impressive. You know, what if biological men were more and more allowed into women's sports? Maybe Bronny James, I don't ever see this happening. I don't think his father would ever allow it to happen. But, you know, maybe the WNBA is a better look for him if he can't get the, you know, the recognition and playing time that he would in the NBA.
You know what's funny is he really hit the genetic lottery, even if he isn't as good at basketball as his dad, because of who he is, he makes more NIL money than any other collegiate athlete. And it's not even close. It's like 4.6 million or something like that. And everybody else is somewhere in the 1 point something million. So that's just kind of funny to me, with him scoring, you know, less than 5 points a game. But I think he could do better in the women's league, in the women's side. And I think he should try it. Also, Zach Edey has one more year of eligibility. He's already said he's going to the draft, but I mean, he could come back and we could just form a dream team of male athletes to compete against South Carolina and see if Dawn Staley can get another national championship there.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine, especially, I mean, Zach Edey, he would just be tower. I mean, just, that would just be very comical. So I'm actually pushing for that just for the comedy sense of it all. But Amber, thank you for the amazing segue. Let's talk about the national championship game last night. Purdue falling to UConn, UConn being back-to-back champions now. Zach Edey, he kind of gave everybody, he reinforced, I think, a lot of people's beliefs in some of his weaknesses. Unfortunately, he came out 16 points in the first half. But he had zero assists throughout the game. And as a center, I mean, assists is a column that you should be putting up big numbers in. So I think a lot of people a little bit wary about maybe what he needs to do if he is to enter the draft and what kind of, where he needs to improve his game more. So what were your overall thoughts on the game last night? Anything stick out to you besides Zach Edey?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people who are questioning whether his skills can translate to the NBA level. And I guess we'll find that out. We'll find that out next year. But he may not have had a lot of assists, but he did have a lot of points. And, you know, UConn really exposed the flaw in everyone else's game plan, because everyone else who played against Purdue was like, we have to find an answer for Zach Edey. We have to stop this 7-foot-4 behemoth from taking over the game. And Dan Hurley comes in and he's like, you know what? We're not going to worry about Zach Edey. We're going to let him do his thing. And we're going to shut down the entire rest of the team, which is exactly what happened. I mean, like you said, Zach Edey had 37 points. He accounted for almost 2/3 of all of Purdue's scoring. And the rest of the team just couldn't get anything going. So I didn't realize this, but Clay tweeted it earlier. UConn has won 12 straight NCAA tournament games by double digits. Like, they're just absolutely, they're just absolutely dominating. And this school has become a perennial basketball powerhouse for both men's and women's. And I don't really see people talking about them too much during the regular season, which maybe it's because I live down here in my SEC bubble. But I feel like they just don't get the credit they deserve, right? But kudos to Dan Hurley and the Huskies. Dan's already said he's not going to Kentucky, despite what people might think about him wanting to replace Calipari. Says his wife does not want to do that. So he's going for the three-peat next year.
You know, UConn is just so dominant, and I feel like there are so many people that want UConn to, you know, you never want to see the big dog, no pun intended, because they are Huskies, come out on top, right? You always want that fun Cinderella story. This year we had two number one seeds in the tournament, in the championships. But I mean, when you are that good, what are you supposed to do about it? People knew early on this was going to be a really tough test for any team that met them in the tournament. They proved everybody that they were absolutely right in believing in them. And I guess hats off to UConn, back-to-back champions. First team to have done that since the 2006-2007 teams back in the day, the Florida Gators. So, okay, let's move on to our vice president, who was commenting on March Madness earlier, Amber. This, you know, there's a lot of comedy happening in our country right now. You know, we talk about the trans athletes entering into women's sports, but also just the constant comments coming out of the mouth of our vice president. She made a comment, you know, she pretends to be a champion of women, but she really has no idea what she's talking about. Listen to this blunder, her latest when trying to talk about sports and pretending like she knows what the hell is going on. Listen.
The women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022. Think about that. And what that talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress. And what that has done, because, of course, when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket. But, you know, what? Just how we love March Madness. And even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's team.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, first of all, I love that she's like, my bracket's not completely broken. Like, that's not a phrase that exists. Like, if you've missed something, your bracket is broke. Like, that's it. There's no completely broken, kind of broken. But also just the idea that she came up with, that women finally, as of last year, got to have brackets. I mean, listen, God bless her, because she just has no idea what she's talking about. What she really meant to say, Amber, obviously, was they got to use the term March Madness for the first time.
Yeah, and before that, it was just because they wanted to differentiate themselves from the men's tournament. So it wasn't that, you know, that there was some sort of like great oppression on the women's tournament. But I mean, Kamala, bless her heart, you know, this really could have been a scene in Veep. It was just incredible. But it wasn't, to me, what struck me is it wasn't just that she was wrong. It was that she just presented this complete nonsense as absolute fact. Like, she led into that with a little history lesson for you. Like, Kamala, we're just making stuff up now. Got it. And I saw people trying to defend her. Like, oh, you know, who cares? Do you really expect the vice president to be an expert on sports? And no, I don't. But if she's going to educate us on the progress of women and on sports, then just try not to be so blatantly wrong.
Yeah, you're right. Because she brought it up, right? I mean, it's one thing if you don't know, just don't bring it up. Just don't talk about it. And you can be like, hey, I'm really excited. There's tons of excitement surrounding the women in the tournament this year. It's so great to see. It's so great to see each and every year more people tuning in to watch the women. I just sounded really intelligent. Like, I feel like I could be the vice president just based on like my current skills and like the things that I'm able to say at this very point in time. But Kamala, she just tries a little too hard sometimes, whether it's trying to talk about sports, whether it's her dance moves. She just had a lot of cringeworthy moments during her 10 years, which hopefully we do not have another 4 years of. Hope to God.
That's here's hoping, but yeah, that was an all-time Kamala move. That was probably my favorite Kamala quote in a really long time. It was just so ridiculous.
Okay, so yesterday, besides the national championship, we also had a major moment in history. I unfortunately was not able to bear witness to it, but Amber, did you have the ability to see the eclipse yesterday?
Sadly, no. I'm in Nashville, so I wasn't in the path of totality, but I was in like the path of mostality, I believe is what they're calling it. So I should have been able to see mostly eclipse. I don't know how you would say that, but it was so cloudy here that you couldn't even see the sun. So I went outside and I tried to enjoy it, but I just stared at the clouds pretty much. But I got to see the one in 2017. We did have totality here in Nashville in 2017. So at least I've gotten to see one. That was pretty cool. Yeah, unfortunately, it was a disappointment for me too.
Well, speaking of 2017, both you and Odell Beckham Jr. both got to see the eclipse in 2017. Let's take a look.
How long you ain't supposed to look?
You see it, bro?
How long you ain't supposed to look at it?
I wonder if Kim Kardashian knows that her boyfriend is lacking a few brain cells. I mean, don't you know you are not supposed to look directly at an eclipse unless you have the proper eyewear on?
You know, he hasn't made a Pro Bowl since then either, so maybe there's something to that staring directly into the sun thing, but... I mean, hey, he was in good company. Trump looked right at it, too, in 2017, and he seems to be okay. So, you know,
oh,
I did
my gosh. Yeah,
that,
I
though,
didn't.
Sorry, I was just saying I did wonder about that because they, you know, there were warnings everywhere. Don't look directly at the eclipse. Yeah. You can't look directly at the eclipse. You have to wear these special glasses. And I did wonder, like, is looking at the sun, and this is a legitimate question, is looking at the sun during the eclipse more dangerous than looking at the sun on a normal day?
I think so, because I saw yesterday online, I don't remember if it was like New York Post or something or other, there was a woman who has permanent eye damage after looking at the eclipse several years. Maybe it was the 2017 one. I'm not exactly sure. I think it was. Yeah, something happened to the iris of her eye. So I think that's why they advise not to look directly at the sun during an eclipse. But I didn't even get a chance to see it because I was, Amber, I don't know how much time you've spent in the Orlando airport, but I like to refer to it as hell on earth because it is truly, truly devastating. That airport is just overrun with very interesting people from all over the country, right, who flock to go to Disney World. So lots of children too, who are hyped up on candy, all the sugars. And it's just, yeah. I was delayed like 2.5 hours. So not only did I not get to see the eclipse, but I was stuck in the airport for an extra 2.5 hours trying to get out last night, but I did not see it. People in New York seem to have had a nice experience. It was a very sunny day here, I hear. But I also read online that if you want to get a good idea of what the totality, I think it's you referred to it as the totality of an eclipse, what it looks like, just walk outside during the nighttime and you can get the same vibe. So I think I'm just going to do that tonight and see what I missed.
There you go. I can confirm. The one I saw in Nashville was pretty much the same. It just got dark for, you know, 20 seconds or so. And then it was just a normal day, but it was still cool. I mean, I still got to say I saw
it. All right, Amber. Well, anything that we need to look forward to coming from you this week?
Yep, we've got a new woman's planning coming Wednesday at noon. And this one might be a little controversial. I spoke to Paul Keeble. He is the chief strategy officer at Ashley Madison. If you don't know what that is, if you don't know what that is, it's a good thing, because that is a website that where married people go to have affairs. And I don't condone this at all. I don't condone infidelity at all. But I did talk to him about kind of like the reasons that people join that website, the most common reasons that people step out on their marriages. And I have some interesting statistics too about kind of the Gen Z generational switch toward non-monogamy and open relationships. So could never be me, but it was an interesting conversation.
Me either. Okay. And by the way, Ashley Madison was the site that was hacked years ago, right?
Yes. Yeah, somebody hacked the site and released all the information of the people who were having affairs. So I don't know that that's happened since then, but I mean, those are the risks you take when you do something like that, I guess.
Those are the risks you take. Not a risk that I would ever want to take, not one you would ever want to take, but that some people are totally comfortable taking. So Amber, thank you so much. Also the risks, you know, looking at the sun yesterday, that was a risk a lot of people probably decided to take. So Godspeed to all of you and your eyesight, those of you who decided to look directly at the solar eclipse yesterday. Amber, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
All right. Well, also Godspeed to Morgan Wallen, who now is in some hot water after taking a chair and throwing it off the roof of a popular Nashville bar over the weekend. Outkick Screen Time host Haley Caronia checked in with music fans to see what they thought about Wallen doing this and what they thought the repercussions might look like. Listen.
Sunday night, Morgan Wallen let the liquor talk, allegedly throwing a chair off the rooftop of this bar behind me. Will the country star evade cancel culture again? Let's see what fans think.
I'm a huge Morgan Wallen fan, like huge.
Yeah.
And it's just very, very upsetting. Like, what the heck?
All publicity is good publicity.
It's my guy.
It's your guy?
Everybody does dumb things every now and then.
Everybody gets drunk in Nashville and does stupid stuff.
I wish I would have seen it. We missed it.
Yeah, Broadway girls. Yes, I like him.
Leave them Broadway girls alone. Yeah. But last night he threw a chair off the roof of Eric Church's bar. Should he be leaving the Broadway chairs alone?
Definitely.
I don't care if you're Morgan Wallen or who you are, dude. You could hurt someone. So I think it's good music, but come on, man.
I guess he's drinking again.
Do you think the fans are going to stick with him, or do you think, you know, cancel culture will get him this time?
Hopefully not. I mean, he's done worse in the past.
Yeah, he's definitely crazy as hell, but he makes good music. He'll always be popular.
Cool that we have a real rock star in country music.
I think the fans probably like him more, to be honest.
As long as he didn't hurt nobody. So.
What if he did, though? Would your opinion change?
Yes.
I think cancel culture, is a bunch of hoopla.
And well, it is a cancer.
Yeah.
That's what you were trying to say.
Yeah, cancer culture, cancel whatever. It's stupid and it's not worth it.
Do you feel lucky that you weren't underneath the bar when it happened?
No, I probably would have dodged it.
Do you throw chairs when you're drunk?
Well, I actually don't get drunk. I'm kind of getting too old for that. But I think if I would, yes, I probably would. Just to get the attention and just to get the approval and see if I can get the party going. So why not?
How many whiskeys would you need to throw a chair off of a roof?
Depends how mad I was.
Like probably a shot of water and a bad day.
I like this mugshot. I don't know. He was smiling.
Well, it's more clean cut than the last mugshot. This mugshot, he looks like, you know, Sunday school, smiling ear to ear. It's like picture day.
I was telling my friends, I was like, I'd love to hear the phone conversation the chief had with him. What the fuck are you doing, bro? Firing chairs off my roof.
You think he'll pay for it?
$100. I think he's going to pay for a lot after this.
It's Nashville. It's a redneck LA, y'all. Crazy stuff happens here all the time. I'm not surprised, to be honest.
All right, so everybody clearly supportive of Morgan Wallen. No one wants to see him serving any jail time, which, by the way, he potentially could. He's charged with 3 felonies of reckless endangerment, 1 count of disorderly conduct. He potentially could face up to 6 years in jail, but my best guess, he's not going to serve any jail time. And I have a feeling the police officers who he just barely missed by throwing that chair probably aren't too worried about it either. They already have their hands full with all types of horrendous things that are happening in Nashville. And I think Wallen is enough of probably like a local celeb. Like everyone probably is very fond of him and the good that he does for Nashville that I think they're probably going to let this one slide. I would hope that they would. We all do stupid things when we're drunk. Not anymore, but like back in the day, I probably have some things I'm not so proud of. So we're just going to leave it there. Morgan Wallen, just don't throw any more chairs, please. Please, just sit down, enjoy your bourbon. I have a feeling this probably would be like bourbon or whiskey. I feel like that's what like makes people act the craziest. Tequila too, maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of alcohols that make people act crazy. So on that note, I'm going to sign off for the day. Everyone, thank you so much for being here. We covered a lot. It was a great time. I still can't see myself, so hopefully I looked pleasant enough for all of you during this episode. But tomorrow, hopefully we flip that script. I can see myself again. That would be lovely. Y'all know I love to look at myself. And everyone, have a fantastic Tuesday. Follow me on social media at Charlie on TV, and I'll see you tomorrow.